Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It's such a blessing to be here and just have something on my heart to share with the body of Christ. When we journey with Jesus, it's an exciting journey all the way through. And we kind of never know what's going to happen. Even as we are journeying with Jesus, a certain predictability as we're reading the gospel, and we get to the end and everything just kind of blows up. And Jesus is crucified, but then he's raised on the third day, and 50 days after that, the church is born in a miraculous way. And so we never know exactly how things are going to go. But I tell you what, I am so excited about 2019. I'm just looking forward to miraculous things that God's going to do. I want to see him transform lives. I want to see him heal people. I want to see him fix relationships. And I'm trusting God's going to do that. Of course, it's all in his time. It's all according to his will. It's all in submission to him. As we've resumed our journey in Luke, we are journeying with Jesus, and we can clearly see that Jesus is on a mission. And so if we look at what Jesus has done just in the last couple of chapters in Luke, we see that he taught about the kingdom of God, that it starts small, and yet it grows into the biggest tree in the garden. And that's the idea that the kingdom of God eventually will overpower all things in one day. Now, he taught that the road to salvation, however, is narrow. It's narrow. It's not wide. It's not a do-your-own-thing. Everybody's going to get into heaven. He's a nice guy. And you know, if God loves you, he wants you to be happy and things like, yes, that's true, but he wants eternal happiness for you, which may call for a significant amount of temporary sacrifice. He taught that an invitation goes out to remote areas to bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. He taught that in following him, that means we have to put him before everything else. That means there's going to be a contrast, if you will, between the things that are pulling us in the world, even the deepest relationships we have, and following him. And we find that Jesus, as we're looking at all of these events that Jesus is going through and what he's saying, that he is on a mission for the missing. Can you say that with me? Jesus is on a mission for the missing. In case that's hard to see, it's actually the title of the sermon. So there it is, God's mission to the missing. Why don't we say that together again? Ready, go. God's mission to the missing. And Jesus came and he clearly said, I came to seek and to save what was lost. The Son of Man came to give his life as a ransom for many. And we find him now in another situation where he's going to explain more about the gospel of God, and especially the very heart of God. I pray that we can listen to what he's saying now as we're going to our scriptures today. Our Father, we know that Jesus himself embodied the very kingdom. And we couldn't make it up to the kingdom, so you brought the kingdom down through Jesus Christ and the very person of Jesus. Lord, we know that he carried your heart, he expresses your heart, and he used stories a lot. So we pray, Lord, that we would be able to hear these stories, understand them, and see deeper into your heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So in our scripture here, in Luke chapter 15, if you want to open your Bible or swipe and click to open up to Luke chapter 15, we find Jesus is again sitting among a bunch of people, and we have a couple of different groups that he's sitting with. We have sinners and tax collectors, and we have the really high and righteous people, the Pharisees and teachers of the law and people like that. And so I'm going to read from Luke 15, verses 1 and 2, and this is the setting. This is where Jesus is about to teach something. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear him, to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and teachers of the law muttered, This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. And Jesus, instead of doing what we normally do, just kind of a heady explanation of why he does what he's doing. Why is he sitting among the sinners? Why is he sitting among the tax collectors? He tells three stories. And out of these stories, he's communicating the very heart of God. So they're out of these three parables, and they're called parables. Parable is a short story that communicates a moral or a lesson. The first two lead up to the third one, and they're not really difficult to understand. So let's take a look at this, the first couple of parables, and we try to understand God's mission to the missing. First of all, God's mission for the missing looks outward. God's mission of the for the missing looks outward. And this is the parable. Why don't we go ahead and read this together, the scriptures. Jesus tells this story. Okay. Oh, there we go. Okay. There are two slides to this. Okay, let's read this together. Ready, go. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. God's mission for the missing looks outward. Here we have a picture of a flock of sheep who are on the side of the hill, and the shepherd realizes that one of them is missing. And he leaves the 99 to go in search of that one. And after finding that sheep, he rejoices. One of the things that we find here is that the lost sheep is back in right relationship to the shepherd. Do you see that? The lost sheep is back in right relationship to the shepherd. And he calls his friends and his neighbors, and he says, there is more rejoicing in heaven over the one sinner who turns to God than over the 99 who doesn't need to be, who's already there, really. And we're going to learn a very important message for all of us and for everyone on this planet. This message has meaning for everyone who lives on this in this world. Let's look at the second parable. The second parable, God's mission for the missing looks everywhere. God's mission for the missing looks everywhere. Okay, so let's read Luke chapter 15, verses 8 through 10. Just this one slide. Let's read that together. Okay, ready, go. Or what woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I had lost." In the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Isn't that beautiful? We can see a recurring theme between these two parables. Jesus is communicating this, that there's a whole lot of rejoicing going on when that which is lost is brought back into right relationship. That coin belonged to that woman, but it was lost. When the woman found it, now that coin is back in right relationship. What does she do? She doesn't just stop there. She calls her friends and her neighbors and says, "Let's celebrate, let's rejoice." And Jesus connects this with heaven. More rejoicing in among the angels in heaven over that one sinner who finds their way back. Are we catching on here? Say yes, if you are. If not, you can listen to the sermon again on westoahuchristian.org, okay, on our website. Thirdly, God's mission for the missing looks longingly. Looks longingly. And this is a long parable. And we don't have too much time. I'm not going to read the entire parable. And in fact, in introducing this parable, we have a short video clip. By the way, is it clip? You think it's going to work? Okay, we think it's going to work. We'll give it a shot. So let's take a look.
How did I get here? The young man took a long look at his life. He was penniless, homeless, filthy, and starving. You would never know that he had once lived under the loving care of his wealthy father. But he had left home, cut off his relationship with his father, squandered his inheritance on a life of sin, and ended up in this pitiful state. He finally came to his senses, and a deep feeling welled up in him. I need to go back to my father. But he was so ashamed. After all he had done, he wondered whether his father would even want him as a son anymore. In desperation, he decided he would return home and ask to be a servant. He was unaware of the depth of his father's love. Little did he know that his father had been longing for him, waiting and watching for the day he would return. As the young man made his way home, his father spotted him, even when he was still a long way off, and ran to him, embraced him, and kissed him affectionately. Filthy and ragged, the repentant young man confessed to his father his sinful life, telling him that he was no longer worthy to be his son. But his father responded by first clothing him with the best robe, and then sacrificing the fattened calf to feed him. With rejoicing, he called for a feast, for all to celebrate the return of his son, whom he declared had been dead and now lived again, who had been lost and was now found. Like the son in this parable, each of us will eventually come to the realization that we are lost and need to be found by God, our real Father. We may feel too ashamed to come to God, but the Bible reveals his unchanging and infinite love for us. He longs for every prodigal to come back to himself. In God's eyes, to be lost is actually to be dead in sins. And to be found is to be saved and made alive in Christ. If we return to God and repent of our sins, we will be cleansed, and Christ will cover us like a robe of righteousness. Not only so, like the fattened calf, Christ, who was sacrificed for us, will also fill and satisfy us inwardly, becoming a rich feast for us to enjoy as sons in the household of our Father God. Our loving and forgiving Father is waiting for us to come to him. We can do this by praying this simple prayer. Dear Father, I am lost and need to be found. I am dead in my sins. Come into my spirit and make me alive in Christ as a son of God. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me so that you could cleanse me, cover me, satisfy my hunger, and qualify me to feast with the Father in his house. Amen.
In the parable of the lost son, we see a son who isn't satisfied with all of the provisions, all of the blessings that he has. He wants something more, something that is not really explained in this video. It leads you to read this parable. But the things that the son engaged in were things that the Jews would look on as just horrific kinds of sins. It's not just doing his own thing and going his own way. But he squandered his money in loose living. That's a dishonor to your father. When he ran out of money, he sold himself to a Gentile owner. Wasn't a Jew. The Gentiles were the lowest of the low. And then you're now working as a servant under the Gentiles. That's like, you think of the worst swear word you can have, and that's worse than that. And not only that, he's working as a under the Gentiles, feeding pigs. Pigs were not something, it was something Jews avoided. So you take each one of these steps, and Jesus is painting the picture. This son had everything, and then he went to the lowest of low. And here we have the Father. The Father, Jesus paints a picture of the Father gazing out and looking longingly for his son, hoping that his son will return. There are many different characters in this story, and unlike some parables, all of the characters in this story are very, very important. The father, the younger son, and the older son, older and responsible son. But all of this parable, this last parable, communicates the heart of the father in a way that the previous two only began to communicate. Jesus is communicating that there's in God himself, there's a driving emotion. There's a compassion that just compels God on a mission for the missing. Why is God so passionate? Why? Because of love. We're made in God's image. God wants to bring that person and restore that person back to himself, no matter what that person has done. Really, that's what this parable communicates. No matter what you've done, God wants to bring you back. I'm not sure how you're feeling here today, but one of these characters in this parable today is the younger son who strayed. In our Sunday school class, Donna Kikuchi shared that in her younger years, she was a certain way, and she described how she was. And she said, the reason I was like that is because I was so insecure. The experiences I went through brought me to a place where I thought I was no good. And when she understood the love of God, she understood that God was saying to her, you're worth the trouble. And these are the words that Donna said. I discovered that to God, I'm worth the trouble. And I want to say to you today, you are worth the trouble to God. Humanly speaking, we look out and we say, wow, you're worth that trouble. And I'm going to say emphatically, yes. You are worth that trouble. Maybe you're a parent of a child who has gone astray. Why do you keep putting up with your child? Because they're worth the trouble. Their very lives, their very being is worth the trouble. Sometimes we get fixated on the trouble. But then we stand back and we realize, no, this person is worth the trouble. This is what God is saying. So he's willing to leave the 99 in search of the one. Why does God leave the 99? Because they are missing. Now, when he looks at all of his whole flock, does he not love the 99 as much as he loves the one? Does he love the one more than he loves the 99? No, he doesn't love the one more than he loves the 99. But the 99 aren't missing. They are there with him. Now, this has a meaning for us. This has a meaning for us because sometimes when we're in the church, we want all the attention. We want God to minister to us and me, and it's about me, what my situation is, my problem, and everything like that. Not that God isn't able to minister. He certainly is able to minister to everybody at the same time. But when we are getting our hearts on the same page as God, we look at the one that's missing and we say, that one needs to be found. I'm with you, God. I'm with you. Not everyone feels the same, though, as the father. We look at the parable of the lost son, and we see the older son. The older son has a completely different response. So the younger son starts off spoiled and selfish, and he repents and comes back. The older son seems perfect, and he's hardworking, but he's also selfish. That's the amazing thing about this parable. The older son, responsible son, is also selfish. When it comes time to it, and the son comes home, the younger son comes home, and the older son says, you haven't even let me have a goat to celebrate with my friends. Who's he thinking about? Himself. Is he thinking about his brother? No, he's not. Responsible people can be selfish too. When we look down on the people who have had problems, have sinned against God, the older son, instead of rejoicing with everyone else, was resentful and he was angry. Jesus' message in this parable is, this is how we should live. What is our attitude should be? We should be one of those who welcome sinners, because this is God's mission for the missing. In fact, this is how Jesus answered the original thoughts of the Pharisees, right? The Pharisees were wondering, why is Jesus sitting with the sinners and tax collectors? This parable, without actually saying why, is why. Because God is on mission for the missing. And I'm going to be looking for that missing. In the end, the father gently responds to the older son by saying, my son, you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. This is really simply an attitude check for us who are already saved or already in the household. And if you are, and I hope that you hear the heart of the Father, but I would like to extend an invitation for those who may be here today, or maybe you're hearing on the internet, that you are not that person, you are not that responsible son. You identify with the son who strayed away. Jesus gave the most powerful prayer a person can pray by telling us what the younger son said, the son that went astray. He said, Father in heaven, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am not worthy to be called your child. Here today I return to you. That's what he's saying to the Father. I have sinned against heaven and against you. If you're here today and you realize this is your role, this is your place today, I would like to lead you in a prayer. And you just know right now that this is the prayer you want to utter. This is the prayer you want to offer to God. The prayer of that son who strayed. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I would like to ask you, though, first of all, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if you're that person. I'm not even going to say, have you ever prayed this prayer before? I'm going to say, are you in this place today? Are you in this place today? I'm going to ask you, we're all going to pray this together, same prayer together, but I'm going to ask you if you're in that place and you need to raise your hand. That is, you're going to say, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand today. Just raise it. If anybody's going to raise their hand today. Anybody want to raise their hand with that kind of attitude, that kind of prayer? I am not worthy to be called your son. I have sinned against heaven and I have sinned against you. I'd like to ask us to just pray all of this together in our hearts together. In this sacred and solemn moment, I'd like us to bow our heads. And although no one has raised their hand today, I pray that maybe in your own heart, you want to pray this prayer. Pray this prayer with me and follow along with me, everyone together. Father in heaven, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am not worthy to be called your child. Here today, I return to you through Jesus Christ. Forgive me of my sins and hold me in your arms. If you've prayed that prayer, the Lord Jesus has come and has accomplished his task, his mission with you. Know that the Father holds you in his arms now. That's the Father's mission. And for you, the Father's mission is complete. And we would welcome you. We would love to welcome you into the family of God. But there's also a mission for the rest of us. Lord, lead us on in that mission to be a part of your mission to the missing. We want to be a part of that, God. Use us because you will go out into the world, into our worlds, into our spheres, and bring that word of hope to those who need it. In Jesus' name we pray. And together we say, Amen. Amen. Amen.